Today's scripture reading will be coming from Judges, chapter 13, verses 1 through 12. Judges 13, verses 1 through 12. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not anything unclean. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and not drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat anything unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God, which thou didst send, come again unto us, and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman, as she sat in the field. But Manoah her husband was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran, and showed her husband, and said unto him, Behold, the man hath appeared unto me, that came to me the other day. And Manoah arose, and went after his wife, and came to the man, and said unto him, Art thou the man that spake to the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, Now let the words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him?
It's good to see this good number here this morning. And we know we have many that are out of town on this weekend. And we hope, pray, and trust that they'll be back with us at the next appointed hour. This morning, I want us to study from the book of Judges, chapter 13. And one of the reasons why I want us to study from the book of Judges, chapter 13, is because we come across a great man of God. The people of God were in and out of captivity because of their sin. They would do well when there was a good judge, and then when that judge would pass on, they would not do so well. As a matter of fact, they would sin against God. They would go about doing their own thing, seeking their own righteousness, walking according to their own standard, Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Here we understand that Jephthah, at this particular time, had just conquered the Ammonites, and he had passed on. And there, some about 25, 30 years later, they had three more judges, and they had a great amount of children. But then we find that the people of God were doing evil again. The Bible teaches us in the first couple of verses there that God allowed the Philistines to capture the people of God. We consider that, and we think about how God always desired for his people to do that which is right in his sight. But the people of God were not doing that which was right, and now God was ready to deliver them from the hands of the Philistines. One thing about the Philistines, they were always a thorn in the side of Israel. Every time you turn around, the Philistines were giving the children of Israel problems, havoc. Yet, we find that God would deliver his people when their hearts were right, when they were ready to do that which was holy in his sight. So here we find that God was going to now be raising up a judge by the name of Samson. I was thinking about something else. And in the raising up of this particular judge, we see that he was going to be using Manoah and his wife. I appreciate the scripture reading and read very, very well. And we're going to read some things for emphasis sake and make some comments. Number one, there's five things I want us to take notice of as relates to this great man of God. Now, you're probably saying, but the woman who was also barren, his wife, she played a major role in this particular situation. And that's true. But I want us to look at Manoah and look at them as a team. And really, when you think about the husband and wife, they ought to be a team. Here we see in chapters 1, verses 1 through verse number 5, we see something very powerful as it relates to a prelude to what was going on.
The children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines 40 years. 40 years of bondage. 40 years of captivity, if you will. Now, there was a certain man from Zophar of the family of the Danites. And one thing about the Danites, let me give you a couple points about them. Number one, they were descendants of Bilhah. Remember, it was Jacob who had some wives there. And when you consider his sons, here they come from this particular tribe, the tribe of Dan. We see that in Genesis 35, verse 25. They were an intelligent people. And you'll see that in the book of Exodus, chapter 38, verse 23. And yet they were a major tribe of Israel, according to Numbers chapter 1 and verse 39. So they were a major tribe. They were a very intelligent people. And they came from Bilhah, one of Jacob's concubines. But notice, whose name was Manoah, whose name means rest, and his wife was barren, had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children." Now let's make a quick point. Here you have the angel of the Lord, and he's speaking to this woman here, the wife of Manoah. And one thing that God would use often, he would use ministering spirits. He would use angels, according to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 7, and Hebrews 2 and verse number 2. He would use ministering angels, or spirits rather, and he would do that because this is how he got his message to whomever he needed to give his message to. We see that also in the book of Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 19 as well, how God would use angels. And you remember, even at the birth bush in Exodus chapter 3. There, most say that that's the second person of the Godhead, the Lord Jesus Christ. I contend, according to Acts chapter 7 and verse number 30, that's an angel of the Lord, because that's what the Bible says. But here we see that this angel, and he's speaking to this woman, and notice what the Bible says in verse number, the latter part of verse number 3, going into verse number 4. He says, "You're going to bear a son. Now, therefore," notice the plea of the angel of the Lord, "please be careful not to drink wine nor similar drink, and not to eat anything unclean." You can go to Leviticus chapter 11, put that in your notes, and you will see the dietary laws of the Israelites. And God had always wanted his people to be a separate people, and he would give them their diet to eat. So he tells her not to eat anything unclean nor drink wine. But notice, "For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God." Now, notice, the child will be a Nazarite. If you put in your notes Numbers chapter 6, verses 1, really the whole chapter there, here we find God had always had people who were Nazarite. Literally, people who were devoted only to him. Now, that's interesting. Friends, we consider that Christians are devoted only to God. We're not to give ourselves over to any other gods, because according to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, there is no other gods. God is one, and he is the only true God. Here we see that when we consider a Nazarite, he was separated for a special cause. All of his life, he was separated for the cause of Almighty God. Here we understand that as the people of God, and we as Christians today, 1 Peter 2, 9, we are a holy people. We're a separate people. Romans 12, 1 and 2, we're to make sure that we're not conformed to this world. We're a separate people. Here we find this Nazarite, this man that was going to be a Nazarite, and this angel is telling this barren woman, the wife of Manoah, "You're going to have a son. He's going to be a Nazarite. And he's going to be a Nazarite from the womb to the day of his death. All of his life, he's going to be separated. All of his life, he's going to be devoted only to the Lord." You know, when a person obeys the gospel of Jesus Christ, from that day forth, they should be devoted to the Lord. And those of us who have had children in the Lord, we ought to be telling ourselves, "I'm going to make sure that my child is devoted to the Lord as much as humanly possible within my power." Here we see in verse number 5, notice the latter part of verse number 5, "And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines." Now, notice, this is going to be his work. He's going to be delivering the people of God out of the hands of the Philistines. Remember, a common enemy of the people of God, a common enemy. You know, we as Christians have a common enemy. First Peter 5 and verse number 8, that devil as a roaring lion. He's our adversary. He's seeking whom he may devour. We know that Jesus had a common enemy. It was the devil, according to Matthew chapter 3. And remember in Matthew chapter 3, how did Jesus defeat his common enemy? It is written.
Amen to that, right?
That's the only way that we're going to defeat this enemy of ours to even today. Notice verse 6. So the woman came to her husband saying, a man of God. Now, if you were to put marks in your Bible, going back up to the angel of the Lord, here, a man of God, during these particular times, angels would manifest themselves as human beings. Here we see that this particular woman, she saw this angel as being a man in the human form. And notice, she said that he came to me and his countenance was like the countenance of the angel of God. Very terrible, very awesome. You know, in Genesis 18, we see that same language. You remember when Abraham was about to be told that he was going to be having a son. And this son here was going to be offered as a sacrifice. And those angels came to him while he was sitting underneath that tree. Y'all remember that? And remember Abraham's hospitality when those angels came. He wanted to take care of them, had a meal prepared for them. But of course, we understand according to Psalm 78:25, angels don't eat human food. They eat angels' food. y'all look at that. That's a good passage right there. Now notice here, friends, in verse number 7. And he said to me, behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now drink no water or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. So this is being repeated once again. That's interesting. Most Nazarite vows didn't last for the whole lifespan, but this particular man, his whole life was going to be dedicated, Brother Chi, to making sure that the people of God were delivered out of the hands of the Philistines. That was his job. We'll get to that here in a few minutes, but that's a very powerful point for us to consider. Look at verse number 8. Then Manoah, remember his name means rest, prayed to the Lord and said, oh, my Lord, this is the first point that I want us to make. That number one, Manoah was a praying man. You know, as fathers, we ought to be praying men, regardless of what situation we find ourselves in as men of God. Here, Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, oh, my Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again. And notice, this praying man wanted instruction and teach us. Teach us what, Manoah? Teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born. Keep in mind that he and his wife, they were barren. They had no children up to that particular time. They wanted to know what was going to take place with this great man that we're going to be having. This great child. He's going to be delivering the children of Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. So we need to know. We need to be taught. You know, as men, let me talk to some of our young men thinking about getting married. Maybe you're young and one day you want a wife. You ought to be praying now the type of husband that you desire to be. The type of father you ought to be. You ought to be praying about that now. Don't pray when you get into the situation. Pray about those things now. Why? Because just as Manoah was a praying man, we need to be praying men. Maybe we haven't been praying men in our families. We need to be praying men for our families, for our spouses. Maybe there's some familial problems that we ought to be praying about those situations. Even if the situation never gets better, we ought to still be in communication with Jehovah. Reason why? Because as this man was a praying man, we ought to be a praying men as well. He wanted to be instruction and instructed, and instruction is the key. And as fathers, we ought to be instructing our children. It doesn't matter how old they may get. One thing I'm very appreciative of, and hopefully he's not embarrassed by this, Brother Nate, you know, he's 26 years old. He still wants to receive instruction. I appreciate that. He could be hard-headed. You know, I was hard-headed at 24, and I paid for it. Once I started listening to mom and dad, things started leveling out. You know, once we start listening to God, things start leveling out. It doesn't matter how bad it may be in the past. Things will begin to level out once you begin listening to God. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 9. We ought to always be talking to our children. Doesn't mean that we have the Bible open all the time, but we ought to be talking about God's principles, His values, His instructions, the things that are going to help them in their lives, that they may be a people zealous for good works. So notice, this praying man wanted to know what was going to be of this child. And notice this praying man in verse number 9 was heard. And God listened to the voice of Manoah. You know, that's still the same in the New Testament. 1 John 5, verse number 14. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. God hears those who are walking according to the Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 16. So God heard him, and He sent the angel of God back to the woman. And notice that the woman was in the field. I don't know what she was doing in the field, but I do have a passage for you that is worthy of our consideration. The Bible teaches us in Genesis chapter 24 and verse number 62 that when Isaac was waiting for his wife Rebekah, oh, he was waiting for her to come. He had never met her before, never seen her before. He just knew that Abraham, his father, sent for her. The Bible teaches us that he was in the field meditating. Question, what do you do in your spare time?
That's a good question. You know, a lot of times on our spare time, we're doing nothing. Well, things that we probably don't need to be doing. It don't have to be sinful. But friends, sometimes we have to stop and ponder on what God's word has to say. Or stop and ponder on how I can make strategic moves in my life that God can be glorified, that other people can be helped, and that I know that those who are around me will be helped. Here we understand that this woman was out in the field, positioned herself, if you will, positioned herself to even hear what the angel of the Lord has to say. Notice, look, the man of God, she runs to her husband. Look, the man of God. Look, the man, I'm sorry, who came to me the other day has just now appeared to me. So Manoah rose and followed his wife. When he came to the man, he said to him, "Are you the man who spoke to this woman?" I love that. I love that confidence that he had. "Are you the man that spoke to this woman?" He said, "Yeah." Point number two, in verses 12 through 14, Manoah, a humble man. First of all, we saw that he was a praying man, but now we want to see that he's a humble man. Manoah said, "Now let your words come to pass. What will the boy's rules of life and his work?" What will it be? The word rule there, don't run past that word in the Hebrew, is mishpat. Used some 460 times in the Hebrew Bible, if you will, the Old Testament. It literally means divine law. Now that's interesting. Manoah, this father, is asking this angel, this man of God, what will be the divine law of this boy, this son that you're giving us? Shouldn't that be our prayer, Brother James? What will be the divine law that I'm giving my children? Here, Manoah wanted to make sure that he was instructing his child the right way. What will be his work? What will be his mission? And truth be told, friends, you ought to be setting your children up on a mission for God. So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, "Of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful." That's the second time he said that. "Let her be mindful. Let her be aware. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor may she drink wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean." Now, when you think of clean, especially from a Hebrew perspective, no swine. You know, the other day I had some swine. I told my wife I had some pork ribs. I can't eat no pork. I start to swell up like a whatever. Anyway, well, I'm so glad I ain't Hebrew. Well, I can eat as much bacon as I want to. I'm glad that God got rid of those dietary laws. Aren't you glad God got rid of those dietary laws?
Anyway, that's not even part of the lesson. You keep that. You probably won't stay away from that pork as much as you can to give you high blood pressure and high cholesterol. But anyway, that's just a little point for life and godliness. That's Bible. Verse 14. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor may she drink wine, a similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. All that I commanded her, let her do it. Let her observe it. God said, be very careful. Why? This particular man here was going to be set apart from my will. He's going to be devoted only to me. Number three, third point, he was an appreciative man. He was a prayerful man, a humble man. Now he's an appreciative man. Look at verses 15 through verse number 19 in that area. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, please let us detain you and we will prepare a young goat for you. He's appreciative. And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, though you detain me, I will not eat your food. Remember angel's food, Psalm 78 verse 25. But if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord. Now, I love this about this angel of God. This angel of the Lord understood his place. He understood that all glory and honor goes to God. Don't you know that the man of God shall always be appreciative to God, to make sure that he is giving thanks to God. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. He was appreciative to this angel. Yea, he was appreciative to God. We ought to be our husbands and fathers who are appreciative to God, regardless of what's going on in our lives. Notice what he says. He says, for Manoah did not know that he was an angel of the Lord. Remember, he took on the form of a man. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, what is your name? That when your words come to pass, we may honor you. And notice verse number 18, friends. And the angel of the Lord said, why do you ask my name, seeing that it is secret? Your version may say wonderful. In the Hebrew, literally, it is secret. One thing I love about this point here is that the angel, it wasn't about him, as we said before. Don't you know that we as fathers ought to be so appreciative that it's not about us nor anyone else. It's about what God says. It's about his will and making sure that everything that he says is number one. But then notice verse 19 through verse number 20. We saw that he's a prayerful man. We saw he's a humble man, he's an appreciative man, but now he's a sacrificial man. Now, brethren, right here is where we ought to pay a little bit of attention. And the reason why we ought to pay some attention here is because one of the hardest things to maintain is a sacrificial heart. Notice what Manoah did. So Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering, and he offered it, that's the young goat, upon the rock to the Lord. Now notice, the locale or the object of his worship was to the Lord. But he offered that which was near and dear to him. I bet you that Manoah did not offer something that was lame, that was blind. I bet you that he just didn't just go pick out something and give to the Lord. Fathers, husbands, potential husbands and fathers, we ought to be preparing our hearts. We ought to be preparing our minds, and if you're going to be a wife, or if you're going to be a mother one day, you ought to be preparing your children's hearts that when they offer anything to the Lord, it ought to be the best. Amen. Young people, don't come to worship and not give anything. Don't do that. What if God had that mindset? Sister Mona, would that be right if God said, I see they're in their sins, I'm going to offer nothing? God saved us from our sin. And on the first day of the week, we ought to offer something to the Lord. I'm reminded of the children of Israel, those who were 20 years old and above, could not come before God empty-handed. Why? Because God had been good to them. Here, Manoah was appreciative, and in his appreciation, he was sacrificial. And one thing about sacrificing, friends, is you are always giving out of what you have. And this is why when we sacrifice ourselves, Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, we're living sacrifices. I'm so thankful that I don't have to be a dead sacrifice, that I live, and because I live, I ought to be able to give my whole self to God. And friends, you'll find a man that robbed God, you'll find a man that'll rob just about anybody. But here, this man Manoah, he was mature. He was appreciative. He was humble. He was prayerful. And he was willing to offer God a sacrifice because, number one, his wife who was barren is no longer going to be barren. Now he's going to have a son, and this son was going to be the deliverer of Israel. Friends, you never know that as a father, you never know who you're raising in your home. You don't know what God is doing with your children. They might be raised up in your home to go out and seek and save the lost.
Boy, that's good right here. Question, who you raising? Who you raising in your house? If you don't have children yet, who do you want to raise?
We want to raise doctors and lawyers, and well, that's fine. But why don't you raise some Christians?
You notice I didn't say preachers and elders. Just Christians.
Just members who are going to be people who love truth and love the gospel and love souls. Notice verse 22, the fifth thing. Because after this sacrifice, we see that the angel of the Lord left, and notice he was a reverent man. Verses 22 through the end of the chapter. And Manoah said to his wife, "We shall surely die, because we have seen God." But his wife said, now this is why it's good to have a godly wife, a prudent wife. Sister Ventura, because a prudent wife knows how to reason and think through things. This woman here, the Bible doesn't give us her name, but it doesn't have to, because we see her reasoning ability. We see her mindset. We see her will. And behind every good man is a good woman. At least it should be. And in front of every good woman, it ought to be a good man. So Manoah said to his wife, "We shall surely die because we've seen God. No man has seen God and lived." But his wife said to him, "If the Lord had desired to kill us," notice her reasoning here, "he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering from our hands, nor would he have shown us all these things. Nor would he have told us such things as these at this time." So the woman bore a son, called his name Samson. You know what Samson means? It means sunlight. You know, Samson brought sunlight to their lives. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Mahanah, Dan, between Zorah and Eshtaol, the camp of Dan. This reverent man, sacrificial man, appreciative man, humble man, this prayerful man loved the Lord. I have one point for us, and the lesson is yours. Every last one of us have some type of influence over some man, some young man. I want to encourage all of us. You find you're a young man and you encourage them. Maybe they're not going to church anywhere. You encourage them to start seeking the Lord. If they're in the Lord, they're a member here, you ought to be telling them, "I'm glad you're here. Keep listening. Apply God's word to your life." If you become a father one day, be the best father that you can be. If you become a husband one day, and really the only way you ought to become a father is become a husband. You know, I don't have time to really delve into that point, but I am going to skate over it a little bit, okay? No premarital sex, y'all. And no postmarital sex. Why? Because God has put a place for that, and it's beautiful in the place where he put it. Y'all smile. Y'all looking funny, but it's still true anyway. Why? Because you want to be the best father you can be. You want to be the best influencer that you can be. And maybe, just maybe, you haven't been that. Don't you know you could be it now? One thing I love about God, once a mess up, not always a mess up. Isn't that beautiful?
Some of the best preachers you read about in the Bible had tore up some lives and sometimes theirs, but God was able to use them. So if I could give a title to this lesson, Manoah, spiritual father. Question, are you raising a spiritual father? You got little boys in your house, little girls in your house. You ought to be pointing them in the direction that they ought to be going. Young people, listen to your parents. It's the God, listen to your parents. They could be pointing you to the right woman or the right man. Sometimes when we're leaning to our own understanding, we don't pick the right folks. Once you say, I do, you mean.
Amen.
Just like that. That's why you got to say, I do the right time, the first time. And when you do that, God will bless you. Maybe you're not a child of God, we want you to be. Maybe you're not a child of God and a father. We want to help you. We want you to help you to be the best father that you can be. Today, America honors fathers. The love Brother Patrick's prayer, when he said, and this is the part of his prayer, that 52 Sundays a year, we are our fathers. This gives our earthly fathers a shot when we have to pray. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of the sins, confess Jesus Christ to be born and buried in water. Put her in remission of your sins, and guess what? The Father in heaven will operate upon you. Colossians chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. And when you come up out of that water and walk in the newness of life, God will save you from your past sins. But maybe you're a child of God and you need such a prayer. Have been the Father you need to be. I guess all of us can use prayer in that area, huh? It doesn't matter how old your children are, you ought to still be some type of influence. Your children, doesn't matter how old they may get, ought to position themselves to be influenced, especially by God. That's the same.